there is a fullness of joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, as this word comes forth this morning, I pray, God, that you will open our ears so we can hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Father, I come against every distraction of the enemy. Right now, in Jesus' name, speak to us, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, God has been speaking to me. And this morning, or this afternoon, we're just going into, God wants me to encourage you in prayer. And there has to be a reason for this. Maybe we don't truly understand what prayer is. Maybe we just need some encouragement this morning to pray. Because the church that I look at that started back in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago was a praying church. And we model that. Jesus even said in Matthew 21 verse 13, he said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. And this is his house. And this house shall be called a house of prayer. I just want to read some verses from the book of Acts chapter 12. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. I don't know if we can get... Oh, fantastic. Book of Acts chapter 12. It says... It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that this met with the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. Two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. When I read the word of God, I just love this word, suddenly. Suddenly happens when the church gets on its knees in prayer. God will move to help you in your moment of need. You see, praying by yourself is good. It's very, very good. I often do that. But I find that it's even better if you can gather a group of people together to pray. A few like-minded people, if you can get them to pray, I want to tell you that there is power in that. And a church that prays together is a powerful church. It's a powerful force. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says this, that two are better than one. We don't need the Bible to tell us that, do we? You can achieve more with two of you. Two is better than one. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one will chase 1,000, but two will put 10,000 to flight. There is power in numbers. When the church can get together and understand the power that there is in your prayers, I want to tell you, mountains will move.
Amen.
I love suddenlies. If you can have faith, saints, I just want to encourage you today, because you know the Lord has been speaking to me, and He's saying that there's some of us are not praying. We are not praying, maybe because we're just fed up of prayer, because we've been praying all our lives and we're not seeing anything. Well, God has sent me by the power of His Spirit this morning to tell you that the church needs to get back on their knees again in prayer. Because when you truly begin to pray, you will see the miraculous. Suddenly, we need suddenly in our experience. We need a suddenly in our church. Suddenly, chains will fall off when the church begins to pray and believe God. Suddenly, prison doors will open. Suddenly, miracles will happen. Yes, they will. When the church begins to pray together. And then we go on, it says, the angel now struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angels told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards, and they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. I think that the Bible got that wrong, because it was God that opened it. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter came to himself and he said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. I want to say that again. Many people were gathered together and they were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance. And a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. Girl, you are crazy. But when she kept insisting, yes, it is Peter, they said, well, it must be His angel. Surely, God cannot unanswer our prayers. They said, you are mad. It must be His angel. Some publications said it must be a ghost. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I believe today God wants to astonish someone. As you're getting ready to receive, I declare and I prophesy over you that somebody will be astonished today by what God is going to do through prayer. There is power in prayer. When the church begins to pray, things happen.
Yeah.
They were astonished, and Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said, and then he left for another place. So we've been studying the book of Acts on Tuesdays. What a fantastic book it is. I want to encourage you. If you can get out in the week, and if you can get, we're getting into the Word. And we've been studying the book of Acts. On Tuesday, we're looking at chapter 7 of the book of Acts. So, 7:30, if you can get there at Connaught Road, I encourage you. And how interesting, when we look at the church that started 2000 years ago, there is a model there in the book of Acts for the church today. Why? Why do I say that? I say that because it works.
Yes.
There is no need to change it. God has given the church a blueprint. It is in the book of Acts. And when you begin to apply everything that is written in there, let me say to you, you will see the miraculous in your life. Satan's plan, and he has a plan. He has many plans. Satan's plan back then was, which is still the same today in the church, was to silence the church through persecution. If I can get rid of this new thing, if I can get rid of it, if I can stop them from making a noise, stop them from getting to people and creating an impact. If I could stop them from meeting together on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday, if I could stop all of that, then I'm winning, then I'm winning. You see, the plan of the enemy, because he knows this, he knows that there is power in togetherness. There is power. When you gather here like this, great and awesome things can happen. God seems to move. When we come together, you notice when you go to some of these large crusades, when you walk in, you don't even have to say anything. Miracles begin to happen because people come together full of faith, full of belief, and God moves. That's all it takes. When we come together, some people say to me, oh, I'm having church at my home. I'm having church by myself. That is a lie of the devil. The Bible says that you should gather yourself together. This is what God expects. And when we come together in power, God moves.
Amen.
You see, Satan didn't read that part of the Bible. And he reads the Bible, I'm going to tell you. He probably knows it more than any of us. He didn't understand that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16:18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The animal so good. I'm going to say it again, because I believe that there is something in the atmosphere. There's some demonic presence in the atmosphere that needs to know this, and Satan needs to be reminded. Matthew is recorded that Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Nothing is going to stop it. And the gates, not even the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against my church. My body. You can persecute the church of Jesus Christ, but it's going to grow.
Yes.
Press it a little harder, and it's going to come up.
Amen.
Stop one over there from functioning, and one will rise up here.
Yes.
There is power in Jesus, and his church is going to be continuing, growing, and building, and functioning.
Amen.
Nothing is going to stop it. The apostle Peter is—he's arrested and he's put in prison. The authorities They didn't want to upset what was happening. It was the Passover. It was important to the Jews. And they were celebrating that. We're not going to do anything. We're going to put Peter in prison. And then we're going to deal with him afterwards. Possibly in the same way that we dealt with James. We'll behead him. We will show this church something. We'll show this church who we are. And so they put Peter in prison, in chains. But the Bible says, I love this because this makes a difference, that while Peter was in prison, the church prayed. You see, one thing that the devil does not understand is this, that if you want to take a Christian out, what you don't give him or her is time. Because if you give them time, give a person time, they're going to pray. If the devil gives you time, you're going to go on your knees in prayer. And that's our powerful weapon. There is something powerful in prayer. And I don't believe that we fully understand this yet. There is a solution for every persecution. There is a solution for every hardship. There is a solution. And the solution is prayer. You might be in your prison right now, suffering silently. And I know there are some people here that is going through that. You're in your prison, maybe in your mind or in your body. You're in prison, cannot get out. But I come to tell you today that I have the keys. I have the keys. Actually, I have several keys. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 19, he says, Brian, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever, Brian, you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And the key that will unlock your prison doors, yes, is the key of prayer. I think some of us are being challenged because we know that we're not praying enough. I'm going to tell you, since God hears and he answers prayers, he really does. In our Wednesday service, a lady came and she asked to be prayed for, and she was riddled with pain from her head to her toes. She was going crazy in her mind. She had straps on her feet. And I always apply this principle because I know that it works. And I call the church to pray. When the church prays sincerely, something happens. And as we began to pray for her, she began to manifest. And she was begin to act in a strange way. And then the demons began to talk, and they said that our name is Legion. You cannot mess with God. There's no demon that can mess with God. No power that can mess with God, because he is all powerful. And as the church began to pray, that's why I'm saying that there is power in corporate prayer. When the church gets together and declare and pronounce, Jesus moves. As we began to out the demons. You know, legion, it means that it's a big number. A legion back then, part of the Roman army, was 3,000 to 6,000 men. She had lots of demons in talking. It took a little while, but we kept on calling upon the name of Jesus, because the Bible said that at the mention of the name of Jesus, demons flee and fly. You see, what the demons had done, they had attached themselves to her infirmity. And we cast every demon out, legion, we cast out in the name of Jesus. At the end of it, the woman suddenly was healed. Healed! She began to jump and run and shout and praise God. She was delivered because of the power that there was in our corporate prayer. Church, it is time to know the power that is in your prayers and begin to pray. Something powerful happens when the church come together. We see this in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, after healing the crippled man, the Sanhedrin called them up and tried to tell them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Peter said that, you know, we're not going to stop. And they had to let them go. Sanhedrin had to let him go. And he went back to the place where they were praying. Peter told them what had happened, how he was persecuted. And the Bible says the church prayed. And after they had finished praying, the Bible says the very place where they were was shaken. May our foundations be shaken after our prayers. May things begin to move and shake when we pray. I know it. I've seen it. I have testimonies of God moving when the church prays. Oh, if you could just grasp that again. The power that there is in prayer. James chapter 5, 16 says this, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. Somebody said it over there. Availeth much. Effective prayer. Passionate prayer. A righteous person is one who can stand before God as if they have never sinned. That is a person who is justified. It says availeth much. It means that your prayers, if you're a righteous person, if you are a Christian, follower of Jesus wholeheartedly, it means that when you pray, there will be benefits. Anybody like benefits? There will be benefits. And so we can say that the effective, passionate prayer of a Christian is profitable. I've come to tell you today, remind some of you that there is power in your prayers. I don't want you to give up on prayer. I don't want you to give up, because some of us want to give up. If we could only get back to the place of prayer and intercession. If we could only get back, because nothing can be done without prayer. Matthew 21, 22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. It is through prayer that it happens. You see, your prayers are not just words that is uttered into the atmosphere and they go nowhere. I want to remind you and tell you today that when you open your mouth and you begin to pray, it goes somewhere. It goes to the ears of Almighty God, and He's got to do something about it. The Bible tells me in Revelation 5 verse 8, it says, and when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Ah. Your prayers, saints, is like sweet aroma that goes up into the nostrils of Almighty God, and He loves it. He loves when you pray. He doesn't mind difficult situations that you pray about. Actually, He loves that. I can imagine God saying, give me something that I can work with. Give me some difficult situation. Come, let me hear your prayers, because I want to move in your situation, because I am God Almighty. I hear your prayers. There is nothing too hard for my God. This will always be, because I know some of you think it is, well, it's according to God's will. And yes, it is. According to the will of the Father. You see, there are some things that we may pray for that God knows is not good for us to have. And He will answer every prayer, but the answer may be no as much as it is yes. When I read the great, great Apostle Paul, when you think there is nothing that God would not do for him, the Bible says, he goes and says, God, three times I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to take this thorn away from me, out of my flesh. And God says no. My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. You see, I love it when Jesus helps us when it comes to prayer. He says, this is how it should be done. I follow this principle, and I see results. The Bible says, Jesus says, first you've got to honor the Father, God the Father. Lift Him up, glorify His name. And then ask for the kingdom of God to come. You see, the kingdom of God comes when Jesus comes. When Jesus moves into your experience, that is the kingdom of God coming right there. And then it says, let your will be done. It's important that the will of God is done. Jesus made prayer a priority. And we must make prayer a priority. Luke 4:42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. This would have been Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. He has just had a tiring day teaching in the synagogue, confronting a demon-possessed man. The long day was followed by an even longer evening, healing the multitudes that came to him. And now, according to Luke 4:42, when it was day, he departed and he went into a deserted place. He went into a deserted place where there was no people. He wanted to get away from the crowds. But you see, Jesus realized something. He realized that people were not his main priority, his number one priority. People are a priority to him, but they were not his number one priority. Certainly, Jesus came to bring salvation to us, to this world. And that was his goal. But it was not his priority. His priority was his relationship with God the Father. He pulled himself away from people, found a place where he could communicate with the Father. Oh, if the church could know and understand the power that there is in your prayers. And when we pray corporately, I've got to tell you, God moves. In Mark chapter 11, 22-24, it says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart that believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. There are three things that I picked out of that verse. Firstly, that you have to have faith in God. Secondly, you cannot doubt. Thirdly, you must believe. You see, when you apply all of this, Jesus' instructions here, when you apply it and you begin to exercise these three points, having faith in God, not doubting, and believing anything you ask for, not my words, but it's His, anything you ask for in the name of Jesus and according to His will, it shall be yours. Shall be yours. Test His word. His word. Begin to get on your knees in prayer. Get together and see God move. Apply this principle. Have faith in God. Believe upon Him. Do not doubt. God has got to do something. He's got to do it. Is he belief? It may be possible today that you have not received. Not because it's not God's will, but because you have not believed what you have been praying for. It's possible. James 1 verse 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed to the wind. Many of us will pray all kinds of prayers. But to be honest, I don't know if you found this, that our prayers can become like religion. It means nothing, but we're just uttering words because we're used to it. We're used to getting up at 5 o'clock and uttering words, but our hearts is saying something else. I want to challenge you today, and I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that the church needs to get back on their knees together in prayer and praying from the heart. Let it come from the heart, not just lip service. I challenge you today on the word of God. If you can get yourself into that position, something will change in your situation. I know it, because I've experienced it. You see, your mouth declares it, but your heart doesn't believe it. That person is a double-minded, this is what the Bible says, a double-minded person. Says one thing, but believes another. James 1:8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That's a person who lacks emotional control or psychological stability. In other words, they are mad. That's what the scripture is saying. You see, the Bible, remember this, that Luke, the Bible in the book of Luke chapter 6, 45, it says, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the heart that speaks. And that is why our lips should only speak whatever our heart believes. What do you believe today? What do you truly believe? Do you believe that it is possible with God? Because if you don't believe it, there's no point in praying. I want to see a church coming back like the church in the book of Acts, because they believed. They believed God for whatever they were praying for, and they were seeing the results. If we could only but change our minds, change our understanding, we would see God moving greatly in our midst. We would. And that is why the scripture says, you are only saved, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the the dead, only then you are saved. Romans 10, verse 9. Many of us doubt. We do that. Oftentimes, Jesus, when I read the scriptures, especially the New Testament, I'm seeing Jesus going into a building to raise somebody from the dead, going in to heal somebody. He takes him, the mother and the father, and a couple of his disciples, and everybody else stayed outside. I don't know within that number, because the Bible does not say whether among that number they were doubters. But inside, I believe what was happening. The room was full of believers. Something happens when believers come together and begin to pray and ask God. God moves. God moves. When Peter was in prison, believers came together and they prayed. But there is something interesting I want to show you. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now faith is the confidence of what we hope for, the assurance of what we do not see. Faith is this: I know without a doubt that God will deliver that which I'm asking for. And even though I am not seeing it with my natural eyes, I know it is coming. Are there any faith people here? Just one. Have faith in God. And that's why the Bible says, you see, and that we are encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. It is not based upon what you can see. Because if you can see it, that is not faith. I have faith in God. It is a thing, the Bible says, that pleases Him. You know, and when God is pleased, oh, if a people that is full of faith can you imagine, get together in one room full of faith, God is pleased and God moves every time. Just coming down, I'm just going to show you something here. So when the people began to pray with the church, this is interesting. When the church began to pray, you would believe that the church would believe that what they're praying for, God will answer. This is the church in the book of Acts. And the Bible says that they were together praying, very much like we get together and we pray. But this is what the Bible says, that they were praying, but they had no faith. Is this possible? Can a church full like this Eden Christian Center be praying and not have faith? They were praying, but they lacked belief. They were praying, but they were not listening to God. You see, a lot of us getting mixed up. We think that our prayers is just like this, going like this, 100 miles an hour. God, give me this, touch this. Lord, do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then we're off to work. It doesn't work like that. It's about communication. When we pray, we talk to God, and we're expecting God to talk back to us. It's a relationship. They were praying, but they were doubting. I can imagine their prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to release Peter now. Break every chain, God. Release him from the shackles. Can you imagine that house I was praying at? Can you imagine it? Release him, God. And they're going at it. And God is trying to get a word in. Hello? Is anybody there? They were going for it. Not realizing that God had answered them. Because Peter was at the door. Their answer to their prayers was at the door. The Bible says that even before you call, God says, I will answer. I will answer. Somebody said that they were so shocked that God had answered so quickly. You see, when I am praying and I have an immediate problem, I expect an immediate answer. And that's what I expect. It's no use. I am expecting the answer to my problem that I need a solution for right now. It's no use that I'm expecting it tomorrow. If it was tomorrow, for those who are waiting and praying, it would have been too late. Peter would have finished. But God answered them suddenly. Suddenly. I come to declare today that there is an answer that is coming in your life suddenly. When you begin to believe, when you begin to believe God, when you begin to believe Him in every situation, have faith in Him, I declare there is an answer that is coming suddenly in this place. Suddenly. Oh God, yes, I know I've been praying for 10 years, but Lord, I need that answer now. Now faith, people, this is what God is looking for. Too many times, we are babbling words that have no meaning. Oh God, God wants us to begin to pray from the heart. And people who know their God, and who knows that their God will answer them when they pray. She hears Peter. And so she's surprised. She goes back. She tells him, your answer's at the door. What you've been praying for. This is it, what you've been praying for. God has answered. And they said, girl, you are crazy. You are mad. You are out of your mind. But she insisted. I've heard him. He is at the door. The answer is at the door. Church, what you've been praying for, God has answered. My sister, take a seat. You're losing it. It must be his angel. It's not the ghost. One of the things, can I have the musicians, please? One of the things that is killing the church today is not the devil. One of the things that is killing the church is not the devil. Because I've already declared in the word of God, Jesus says, He's going to build His church. Nothing is going to stand against it. One of the things that is killing the church today is unbelief. Shocking as it sounds, it is unbelief in this place. There are people who are sitting who do not truly believe in God and His power. I come to tell you today that my God is real and He answers prayers. If we could wake up, understand, apply what God has given us, saints, you will see. Oh, I'm charged up. You will see the results. Listen to this. F.F. Bruce relates the story of Sundar Singh. He's a Christian and he's in prison. He's freed, actually, from prison. And then he's put back into prison, into this hold for preaching the gospel. Sundar Singh thrown into a well, And he's covered. A cover is put over it. And it is locked securely. Getting ready to die. He would be left in the well until he died. And when he was down there, he saw the bones of others who had been thrown into the same pit. On the third night of his imprisonment, he heard someone unlocking the cover of the well and removing it. A voice told him, take hold of the rope that was being lowered. Sunda was grateful that the rope had a loop in it because he damaged his arms in the fall. He got it around his legs. He was raised up, and then the cover was replaced. And it was locked. And when he looked to thank the person that had helped him, no one was there. Jesus came suddenly to Sunda. Jesus is coming suddenly to somebody here that has a need. This is the church in the book of Acts. Now, 2,000 years on. When he looked, he could not find the person who had let him out, who had released him from his prison. When morning came, he went back to the same place that he was arrested. They started preaching again. News of his preaching came to the officials who had him arrested. And Sunda was brought before him again. When the officials said, someone must have gotten the key and released him. I know who took those keys. They searched for the keys and they found it on the waist of the official. It was on his belt. God is still writing the book of Acts today. But he needs a church that knows that. And I can pray in faith, believing. Still being written today. There is nothing too hard for my God. When we ask him in faith, believing, God moves. God open prison doors, unlock chains. There is nothing too hard for my God. Please stand to your feet. Yes, Sheila knows.
A lot of hands that's raised. Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you.
Now begin to glorify Jesus. Come on, church. Begin to glorify. Glorify. Glorify the Father. Glorify the Father. Come on, come on. Something is about to happen right now. As you glorify the Father, come on, lift him up. I know you're full of faith. Lift him up. The Bible says, when you pray, hallowed be my name. Glorify him. Something is about to break. There are some strongholds in here. It's going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Lift up the Father right now. Yes. Yes. Now I want you to ask God to let his kingdom come. That means when the kingdom of God is on earth, great and awesome things happen because the kingdom of God is in Jesus. But also the kingdom of God is within you. There are some kingdom people here who is about to change situations. There are some kingdom people here who are about to unlock some doors. There are some kingdom people in here. Their chains are going to broken. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Kingdom people, begin to declare right now. Give up all those. Whatever it is, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus, according to your will, God. According to your will. Come on, church. Come on, church. Don't go to sleep on me. Something's about to happen right now. Yeah, God. What is it? Believers. Believers. You're not believing in me. You believe in the mighty God, creator of the universe. Something is about to. I want those people again. Those people who believe God. Believe this. Believe God. Raise your hands right now. Something is about to break. Chains are about to be broken. Prison doors are about to be opened. Yes, in the name of Jesus. My brother, I release you. I release you right now. In the name of, come on, church. When the church begins to pray, pray that my brother be released right now. Church, begin to pray. Something is about to happen. In the name of Jesus, I release you. I release you from all strongholds. In the name of Jesus, strongholds in your life. I break the cut off right now in the name of Jesus. Set you free right now. That's what to rubber. In the name of Jesus, I release every chain, every bondage. I release in your life right now, and I declare miracles in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, begin to pray. Something is about to happen. Kingdom people are praying right now. In the name of Jesus, that miracle is going to be yours right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare it over you. I declare it over you. The kingdom of God has come. Is about to be made permanent. God is going to come in the name of Jesus. Come on now, declare it to him. Some of you are addicted to things. Say, God, today, by the power that is in your word, I release from the bondage. King of God is today. When I'm on my soul, somebody lift him up. Something is happening right now. Something is happening right now. The kingdom of God is right here. Prison doors are being opened. Come out of your sickness. Come out of your addiction. The doors are open. The chains are off. Come out. In the name of Jesus. answer right now. Every confusion, I command, go in the name of Jesus. Go out of your life now. Go out of your life now. Go out of your life now. Every stronghold of the enemy, I release you from. In the name of Jesus. Declaration now. I just want you to repeat after me. I declare today. I don't want you to say it if you don't believe it, because some things are about to change in your life. I declare today, in the name of Jesus, that my prayer life is going to be turned around. I'm going to get together with people and we are going to pray. We are going to expect to see miracles, because we are the church of the book of Acts. We are the church of miracles. We are the church of serve and know the living God. Hallelujah. Please just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray over you. In the name of Jesus, Son of the living God, I declare today, in the name of Jesus, that there shall be miraculous works in the lives of every person whose hand is raised in this church. Today I declare, from today, this is going to be a different church. It's going to be a church of miracles. It's going to be a church that knows how to pray. In the name of Jesus, from today, God, I declare the miraculous through our prayers. In the name of Jesus.